Today's scripture reading is from Psalm chapter 22, verses 1 through 31. If you need a Bible, please raise your hand and an usher will bring you one. Psalm 22, verses 1 through 31. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breast. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me, like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. You, all you offspring of Jacob, glorify him, and stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship before him, shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to people yet unborn that he has done it. This is God's word.
Hello? Okay. Warning. A Japanese man by the name of Tsutomu Yamaguchi was a young engineer working for Mitsubishi, and he was on a business trip when he was stepping out of a tram on his way into the office, and he was knocked to the ground. The time was 8:15 a.m. on August 6, 1945, in the city of Hiroshima, Japan. If you know your history, you probably can guess that this is the atomic bomb that detonated over the city that we as Americans, or some of us here, are responsible for. And Mr. Yamaguchi survived. He was left with some skin damage and a damaged eardrum, but he fared a lot better than a lot of the other people in the city. And the following day, he traveled home. He took a train 180 miles to his home city of Nagasaki, where he lived. And 2 days after he got home, 3 days after the Hiroshima bomb, the Americans dropped the second atomic bomb over Nagasaki. And again, Yamaguchi was knocked to the ground. And again, he miraculously survived. Both impacts, he was less than 2 miles away from the detonation site. This time, he was left with more skin damage that actually lasted for the next 12 years, and including the nuclear fallout, the radiation, and the trauma of experiencing such tragedy in his life and to his countrymen. Despite all this, he survived and lived to the age of 93, where he died of stomach cancer in 2010. We've all had bad days, maybe bad weeks. Maybe we've had bad months or even bad years. Maybe not quite as bad as Mr. Yamaguchi's life that I just explained, but I think we can all relate in some way to the hopelessness, the helplessness, the sorrow, the pain that we all endure in life. And a lot of times we cry out. Maybe some of us have cried out to God, and it seems like God is silent. So today we're looking at Psalm 22, and here David is crying out to God in despair, and we'll be looking at how God is present in David's life, even though David sometimes feels alone. And we'll be looking at how David responds to God and how he responds to his despair. But before we go on any forward, let me pray for us. Lord, you are good. And sometimes we go through trials in our lives, and we pray that we'd be able to seek you in those times of our lives, Lord, and that we not stray away from you. And I pray that you speak through your servant, Lord, and that you speak through your word today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Psalm 22, if you haven't opened your Bibles yet. Thank you, Sam, for reading that. It was really long. And we also read it in the ESV, so sorry if you got confused there. But Psalm 22 is what we call a lament psalm. What a lament is when the speaker is sharing about their anguish in their life or their despair, and then seeking comfort or relief from God usually through prayer. And today we'll be kind of jumping around a little bit, so try to follow along. We'll be starting from verse 1, though. So verse 1, verse 2 says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. So basically, David, here in the opening verses of our passage, he feels like he's been abandoned by God. He's saying, like, why have you forsaken me? Why have you left me? And this is something that many of us can probably relate to, this sense of being alone or feeling like no one understands us or that God is not present in our lives. For me, I live alone. I live in a kind of a gigantic house by myself, because it's actually my parents' house, but they live in China right now. And I was with them over the holidays, and when I came home, it was really hard because I was spending like 2 weeks nonstop with my family, and all of a sudden I'm just alone. And that was really hard for me, but I think going through scriptures, especially for today, was really encouraging for me to see how God is still showing his presence in my life, even when I don't notice. So jumping ahead, we're going to jump to verse 6, where it says, but I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. Now David is introducing another aspect of his anguish, or source of his anguish, which is people. The people around him are causing him to have some kind of, you know, despair in his life. And we don't know exactly when in David's life or in the history of Israel this psalm is directly talking about. We don't know if maybe it's when Saul is pursuing him, or maybe one of his campaigns during one of the wars that he was leading Israel into. But all we can really tell from this is that people around him are a source of his anguish. So we're going to jump ahead a little bit again to verse 12. 12 says, many bulls encompass me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me, like a ravening and roaring lion. So here he introduces yet another idea of like animals. So again, we don't really know what he's talking about here. It could be actually animals. I mean, there was a time period when David was spent in the wilderness. We don't know, maybe if he was chased by lions and tigers and bears. I don't know. But or it can actually be referring to, again, people. Maybe a people group that he represents through animals. So again, we're going to continue in 14, where he actually introduces even another source of anguish. He talks about his physical well-being, He talks about either his illness or some kind of physical pain that he's going through, as well as emotional pain. In 14, it says, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death, for dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothes they cast lots. Now, hearing about David's lament and the source of his anguish, I think about how the world suffers. And David speaks about being alone and forsaken, about being surrounded by his enemies and his hungry beasts. He talks about his physical illnesses or injuries, and he talks about even starving and having his possessions taken from him. And I think about our world today. If you're keeping up with current events, it seems like the world has gone crazy. We have Al-Qaeda attacks in Europe, in Paris, and the prevented attack in Belgium. And we have journalists and citizens being killed every single day by ISIS. I heard they executed one of the Japanese journalists. I'm not sure how accurate that was. This is actually not getting a whole lot of coverage, but there's also the Boko Haram massacres in Nigeria, which is this huge, like thousands of people are just being killed. And there's just so much going on that there's not a lot of coverage. And that's like not even in our country. I mean, we also had like the riots recently in Ferguson and New York regarding the Michael Brown and Eric Garner deaths, respectively. It almost seems like no matter where you go, there's just this sense of despair and pain. And that's not even getting into our personal despair and pain. I mean, I don't know, maybe some of us are, maybe on the chopping blocks at work, they're putting off layoffs. Maybe you're living paycheck to paycheck already. And then maybe for us students, maybe you're having a hard time maintaining your grades. I know the college students just got back to school, so hopefully you're not in that situation yet. But, God bless you guys. Maybe you're having troubles at home, either with a spouse or a parent or a child, and just having communication problems, and home's just maybe not a safe place anymore. Or maybe you're being bullied, whether it be at school, work, or even online. The fact is that the world can feel like an utterly terrible place. And that's really the first thing that David is trying to show us in his psalm, is that everyone in the world experiences anguish. Again, everyone in the world experiences anguish. And that is why we lament. And I think we all lament. Maybe we realize it, maybe we don't. But that is why David laments. In 1923, a man by the name of Tong Sui Tian, we'll just call him Tong, just for simplicity's sake, he built a church in China. He was the only Christian in his family, and he used his inheritance money to build this church. And his family thought he was a fool for doing it, but he did it anyways. And the church was relatively successful. People showed up to service, and things were good. Eventually, Tong passed away. But the church remained. It still continued to have service and operate. But in the 70s, it was about 50 years old, and the building was starting to get really old. And so Tong's son, Mark, actually came and decided to rebuild the church. He returned to his father's home village and spent a year in construction. And afterwards, the building was brand new and it was ready to use. But the Chinese government came in to close down the operation. So if you don't know, the Chinese government is not really pro-religion, and they decided to shut down the church because it was considered a new church. And it was allowed to operate before that because it had been established before communism had came into power in the 40s. So it operated for another like 20-some years. But once they rebuilt the church, the government closed it down because it was seen as a new church rather than an old one. And in 1998, Mark actually passed away never seeing his church being used again for worship. Now, I'm sure this is a huge reason for Mark to lament. And when we think about it, like, Mark was doing God's work, right? He was rebuilding his father's church for worship. Like, why would God ever do that? You know, he put a year of his life into that church. Now, I don't know each and every one of our reasons to lament, but God does. And that's really what David is showing us as his second point in this psalm, is that God is holy and will deliver us. Again, God is holy and will deliver us. I said it a little bit before, but lamenting is really a two-part thing, where the first part is where one expresses their anguish, and the second one is where they seek some kind of relief or comfort. And that's kind of the reason why we skipped around in our passage today, was because David, what he does is he flip-flops between expressing his anguish and seeking God's comfort. So we're going to jump back a little bit in our verse. We're going to go to verse 3, where David says, "Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel, and you are fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame." Verse 8, he says, "He trusts in the Lord, let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him." Continuing in verse 9, "Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breast. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near and there is none to help." Continuing a little later in verse 19, David says, "But you, O Lord, do not be far off, O you, my help. Come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen." Now, this idea is actually, when I first read it, I was like, it kind of didn't sit well with me, because it seems different from how we naturally think about how we respond to troubles in our lives. So usually we have like despair, and then we're delivered by God, and then we give God praise. That's how we want to work. It's like, I want something before you like, it's almost like God has to prove himself to us. But what David shows us here in this passage is that he experiences this despair in his life, yet he still praises God, expecting to be delivered. And at the very end, David is delivered. And that's really what God is seeking from us. It's not that he has to prove himself to us, then we praise him. It's more that God just deserves their praise, no matter what our situations are. Now, I'm going to go back to our story about Tong and his son Mark. There is something that I didn't share with you about this story. Mark is actually my grandfather, my mom's father, making Tong my great-grandfather. 2 years ago, as I mentioned before, my parents moved to China for a temporary work assignment. And at the time, they kind of didn't really know what God was putting into their life. But my dad was working, and they were actually situated in the city of Guangzhou in southern China, which happens to be the city that my great-grandfather's church is located. And my dad was working, but my mom was just kind of there. Like, she wasn't working. She didn't really have anything to do. She was just there really to support my dad. She would cook him meals and things like that. But if you know my mom, she's like super duper involved at church. She even still does stuff here. She might be watching right now on the video. I'm not sure. But I know she Skypes in a lot, or she's a Slingbox. I don't know if you guys know what that is. But anyways, she even still does for the Cantonese service. She still does their PowerPoint every week. So, I mean, she's used to being very involved in church. And when she moved to China, she struggled because she didn't have that outlet to, like, constantly being serving God. So she was, like, she just really hated it in China. And, I mean, I can't say that she doesn't hate it now. She misses home. But a few months after they moved to China, One of my relatives that lives near the church called my mom up and was like, hey, the Chinese government is looking for a descendant of Mark Tong. And she was like, oh, I'm a descendant of Mark Tong. So the Chinese government got in touch with her, and what happened was the government is doing this campaign where they're opening places of worship for different religious groups. And my grandfather's church was one of the churches that was in their database or their whatevers, and was chosen to be one of these places to be opened up for worship. And all they needed was a blood descendant of the original pastor or owner of the church to sign off all these papers. And it was like a whole year-long process, but my mom just happened to be there. And at that moment, my mom and my family realized that this is why God had brought them to China. That three generations of my family's faithfulness was finally coming around full circle. My grandfather never got to see the church that he rebuilt as another place of worship in his lifetime here on earth. But he remained faithful. I remember growing up, and he was always the head of the household, and he was always like, God comes first, church comes first. Despite all the reasons for him to hate God for almost throwing away all his work, he still loved God. He still praised God. And that's exactly what David is telling us in this psalm. Despite our situations or what state our life is in, God is holy and will deliver us. Maybe it's not in the time that we want it to be, which is usually right now. Maybe it's not in the way that we want it, which is usually the most beneficial to us. But indeed, God is faithful. God is holy and will deliver us from our anguish. So far we have the first point, which David was trying to tell us, is that everyone experiences anguish in their lives. And secondly, that God is holy and will deliver us. Our third point that David is trying to tell us is that we are to praise God as one body. So, from verse 1 to about verse 21-ish, there is really two characters. There's David and there's God. And I guess there's some other guys, but those are like really the two main people. But in verse 22, we see there's a change in how David speaks. He starts talking much more on a corporate level. He talks about brothers and congregations in the nation of Israel. So in 22 it says, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him. All you offspring of Israel, for he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. For you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the ones who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told to the Lord to the coming generations. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to people yet unborn, that he has done it. Now, a lot of times when I'm feeling down, like, you know, I shared with you a little bit before this month, I just want to be alone. And it's really easy for me because, again, I live alone. And I just end up sitting there and wallowing in my sorrow. And, you know, maybe I always tell myself I will find relief in, like, binging in Netflix or, something like that, where I just watch, like, SportsCenter, like, 10 times, even though it's, like, the same thing every time. And that's just, like, what I do. And I'm like, oh, I feel great now. But in reality, I don't. And what we all really need, especially in those times of sorrow, aloneness, just sadness, is we need community. We need to be with our fellow brothers and sisters of Christ. And when we're with our brothers and sisters of Christ, they see our sorrow and they should be lifting us up. You know, whether it be in prayer or words of encouragement, or even just sometimes just being near them. Like, when my mom is home, I just feel a lot better. But it's weird because I'm never really in the same room as her. She's just like doing her thing and I'm doing my thing. But just like being around her just brings me more peace in my life. And I think that's the kind of thing that God created us for, this sense of community. In Ecclesiastes 4:12, which was, I think, one of our memory verses for last year, this is the ESV, but it says, "And though a man may prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken." So again, we are called not to be individuals in this world, but one body under Christ. And speaking of Christ, one big reason for us to praise God, you know, as we seek deliverance, is because Christ has actually already delivered us. If you're familiar with this psalm, you'll know that this is actually the beginning where the beginning is actually what Jesus quotes on the cross just moments before his death, where he says, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." So David is writing this psalm depicting his own life, but he's also writing it because this is Jesus' life. You know, David writes about how he's poured out like water, just like how Jesus' side was pierced and water poured from it. And he talks about how his bones are out of joint, just like Jesus' was when he was pulled across on the cross. And he talks about his hands and feet being pierced and his garments being divided up by the casting of lots. I mean, this is Jesus' story. This is the hope that God gives us. And not only that, this is our story. Our story as individuals, because we go through the pain and the suffering in our lives, but it's also the story of humanity. We talk about sin and the pain that it brings us as people in this world. But it is when we combine, when we're together as a congregation, as when we're together as a body of Christ, and we're faithfully worshiping Him, that's when we seek deliverance. That was when we realize that we actually are delivered. We're all part of this world and the pain that comes with it, but we're also given the hope of life after death in Christ. And I pray that we be able to understand what the salvation that Christ brings us is all about. And David tells us to share about God's grace to us, and he tells us to give God praise and to serve one another because God is holy. And he talks about how one day all will turn to God. He talks about the prosperous turning to God. He talks about the people dying or the poor, they'll all turn to God. In 29, it says, even the ones who could not keep themselves alive, possibly meaning those who are not Christians, who even maybe passed away, even they will turn to God because He is holy and righteous. So again, David is telling us that everyone in the world experiences anguish. He tells us that God is holy and will deliver us. He's telling us that we must praise God as one. The hope and salvation of Christ that Christ brings us today is more than enough to give Him total praise, because He has already delivered us. And all the other things that trouble us in our lives, the anguish, the despair, is nothing compared to that. Let's pray. Lord, You